The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
By combining acupuncture, food, herbs, and practices such as Qigong, you can enhance better health in your life today. Welcome to Holistic Healing with Herbs and Chinese Medicine. Your hosts are Michelle Collins and Andres Vergara. In this hour, you'll learn how carefully researched findings and suggestions can help you to live a better life. Now, here's Michelle and Andres.
Welcome, everybody, to Holistic Healing with Herbs and Chinese Medicine. I'm Michelle Collins. I'm your co-host for tonight's show. And we have a really exciting show planned for tonight where we're going to actually look at some indigenous healing systems and how they are similar to Chinese. This is an interesting thing among a lot of traditional healing systems, especially ones where herbs are used, is that there is such amazing overlap.
Yes, welcome. Andres Vergara here, acupuncturist and herbalist. Yeah, you know, Michelle and I have studied Chinese medicine for many years. One of the great advantages of the Chinese medical tradition is thousands of years of written history and written herbal formulas, written herbal diagnostic systems, etc. Yeah. Whereas all across the world, there are other traditions that have been sustained through orally and or, you know, to some extent written, but likely less so than the Chinese, which is very vast in its record keeping. And so today we wanted to focus a little bit about one of these shamanic traditions from a shaman I got the pleasure to meet when I was in Colombia in 2010. My aunt had told me about a Colombian shaman who was from the Amazon rainforest and was a very powerful healer and had a great knowledge of Amazonian plants. She said he lived in Bogota, and that which is the capital of Colombia, and he was teaching and providing treatments. She spoke very highly of him, and I became curious to know a bit more, and I ended up giving him a call and speaking to him in Spanish. He speaks Spanish along with Ultoto, which is his native tongue, and three other native languages from the Amazon region. So I spoke with him and interviewed him in Spanish and translated the interview, and it was very interesting. I also received a treatment from him, which I benefited from, in which he sang to this to water, which had some herbs in it, and I drank that, and he did other songs and stuff, and it was very interesting to get that type of healing, which was I felt was effective and useful for me, and different than what I'm used to, and so I wanted to elaborate on these kind of traditions that are lesser known but have many similarities to the Chinese system. So this guy's name is Isaias Ramon. That's what he calls his white name, you know, because for him, basically the Colombians who run Colombia are the white people. And, you know, so but his original name is Jujero Niacudo, which he taught me how to say. And so that means the coca plant, which is illuminated by Venus. So coca is a sacred plant for this indigenous group, as is tobacco. And they don't use it in the processed form, of course, but in this natural leaf form. And they make it into a paste, which they use for healing and for entering sort of a healing state. So the language of his tribe, like I said, is Ultoto. He speaks Spanish and these other tribes, and he was other languages, and he was very willing to give his time freely and share some of his tribe's history and practices. And the name of his tribe is Vetoto, and they live in the Amazon region of Colombia, which is, you know, as his name implies, right in the Amazon, close to the borders of Brazil and Peru. And I was very impressed by his compassionate and authentic nature. And like I said, he uses songs, prayers, intention, herbs, as well, you know, to treat a variety of health conditions.
So which, I was going to say, no. I was going to say, which is interesting because, you know, one of the systems in Latin America where there actually is some writing and some description of is the Mayan system. There's a really wonderful book called Wind in the Blood that really it compares the Mayan healing system with the Chinese healing system. And one of the things that they describe is that, you know, that using similar methods like incantations and prayer are a big part of, as well as herbs, but are a big part of that healing system as well.
Yes. And, I asked him, asked him some questions trying to determine how a system works and asked him, how does he make a diagnosis? How is he trained? How does he use plants? So the answers to those questions are for diagnosis, he uses what he calls ambol, a paste made from tobacco with a certain type of salt that his tribe makes from vegetables. And he also, he chews mambe, which is a paste of coca leaf powder. So I asked him why, and he says that these help protect him from illnesses that might be affecting the client, help him see what he wants to do in terms of healing. He spoke of different types of illnesses, those that come from human disorders, so basically created by human tension and human interaction, those that come from environmental influences, which, in China, in Chinese medicine, that's very important. You know, they use the metaphors of wind and cold and heat, which we'll get more into, but so that there was a similarity there with Chinese medicine. Those that are hereditary, again, Chinese medicine also deals with that kind of illness, and what he called artificial or created illnesses. So the ambol and the mambe prevent the shaman from being affected from the client, and also help him figure out whether, as he described it, whether he should touch the client, how to treat the client, whether to give the client certain tasks to complete before doing any actual healing practices on that person. You know, and this again resonates to some extent with Chinese medicine. Sometimes, you know, you might tell someone to go on a particular diet or do, you know, do particular lifestyle changes, you know, in addition to or in lieu of sometimes, you know, particular treatment. So having trained in the Taoist meditative arts, I know that when I was seeing this man as a client, he was scanning was what the Taoists refer to the energy body, you know, which is the underlying matrix that underlies the physical body. Now, if you look at acupuncture, which uses what are called meridians, energy channels that run through the body, of which the organs are considered to be the physical fruits of these meridians, then you'll see, again, there's a similarity. And, you know, having researched a little bit about the Yanomami tribe, a Brazilian Amazonian tribe, I know that they also talk about rivers of energy that move through the body, similar to the Chinese medical notion of meridians. So here, there's another similarity.
Yeah, it's interesting too, actually. The Mayan system also recognizes channels in the body, and not only channels, but actual specific points. And in the Mayan systems, they use needling and bleeding of points to affect the flow of energy in the body. So I find that really fascinating. They have a literal understanding of the map of the energy flows, which is literally what acupuncture is, mapping out the meridians and the flow of qi in the body. And this idea that if that energy is stuck, health is going to be impacted. And then how can you alter that flow and using similar, very similar methods?
Yeah, that's fascinating. I mean, it speaks to some sort of underlying recognition or some sort of underlying essential similarity in the understanding of disease, which is very interesting. So another aspect of his teaching, like we mentioned, and his practices are songs. And so I asked him a little bit about that. And he said that the songs are a method to recreate oneself, to recreate the universe, and are therefore applicable towards healing others or oneself. There are other songs that are used in the tribe for dancing or to vibrate the heart and heal one's health. In addition, I asked him, you know, about meditative practices because I was curious. You know, Michelle and I, we did, you know, as you know, the show on Qigong and meditative practices that we resonate with. And so I asked him if there was a similar trend or similar aspect to his tribe. And he said they use a form of silence where everybody's quiet, no talking, and they go into the fetal position. And they just remember their own stories for long periods of time as a way to heal themselves. I found that quite interesting.
I think that's such a beautiful, it's a really beautiful meditative practice too.
And then, okay, so I then asked him how it was that he came to become a shaman. He said that he studied with his grandparents and his parents since the age of 5. And actually, when I first spoke with him, I had two phone calls with him, both about an hour long, and He was in the Amazonian region going for continued education. So he's still studying today, and he started the actual practice of shamanism at age 21. And he said that everybody in his tribe has similar knowledge to different extents, but they just then specialize with different diets, different trainings. So, and that in his tribe, there are about 30 people that work as shamans.
And he's what? He's about 56, right?
Yeah, he's 56 years old. And he said that he's now reached the age where his parents and grandparents can teach him certain secrets of the tribe, which he didn't tell me, which is fine, of course. But so there's this idea that there's just that there's a certain innate power in what he's learning, and that the training's not to be abused, and only once you acquire certain wisdom do you learn certain aspects of the system. So I thought that was wise. I thought that was a good thing.
Well, I was going to say too, one of the things that he had shared with you was just I was amazed by the impact on just the Amazonian region and on his tribe of some of the border wars and some of the different things that had happened.
Yeah, that was very sad. He said that his tribe once numbered 40,000. This was in the 20s or so, and that there are various border wars with Peru in which his tribe was massacred by the Peruvians. Ended up only being 1,000 left of his tribe, and that 36 other tribes were completely wiped off the map. And as he put it, there's not even a song remains of them.
Which is amazing when you, as Andres, when you kind of go through this interview and talk more about the individualized system that his tribe has. And just not that, but one of the things that struck me the most about your time with him was that they're not only their knowledge of the Amazonian plants, which is there's such a vast amount there that are possible to, that have such amazing applications, I think, but a mass knowledge that we don't know anything about, but that his language there was kind of an encoded understanding of not only these plants, but what they were used for.
Yes, and, he does basically say that there are he puts it a particular way. I think he says that there's a etymological resemblance of disease to cure. So that, for example, he gave the example of a stomach ailment called hefide, which is like an ulcer pain in the stomach. And then there's a plant, hefide coma, which is a plant called caimo in Spanish. And this plant can then heal the disease, and for that reason, they have an etymological connection and resemblance.
I wonder if there was the doctors. It reminds me of the concept too in herbal medicine of the doctrine of signatures. That when you look at a plant and how it's shaped and how it grows, and you learn about how a plant exists in the wild, that it gives you the clues about how to use it, and just that understanding of a plant.
Or maybe that simply his tribe has built in these etymological similarities between plants and illnesses as part of their healing structure and the language of their healing system. So he is also from the Amazon, a part of the Amazon that, as he explained, has no hospitals or clinics and therefore uses and relies on what Mother Earth can provide. And he said, I quote, Mother Earth gives us everything, he said to me. And it is, I quote him again, the source of knowledge. So as part of his training, he was prohibited from eating large fish and large animals. And and that's because his tribe believes that doing so decreases intelligence and that they're really only good for increasing sexual appetite. So his tribe focused on small fish and small other animals. And so I want to get more into the particulars of his diet because it was quite regulated as his training as a shaman in the context of his training of a shaman. And we have to take a commercial break now. We invite you to visit our website, www.spiritrisingherbs.com, and like us on Facebook, Spirit Rising Herbs LLC. And we'll come back and continue sharing this knowledge when we get back.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
In order to deliver the best Chinese medicine has to offer, Michelle and Andres are providing herbal consultations tailored to your unique health needs starting at $50. Michelle and Andres will write a customized formula for you and provide food, diet, and other lifestyle suggestions using the time-tested wisdom of Chinese medicine. They offer phone or Skype sessions of either 30 minutes, an hour, or an hour and a half, depending on your needs. Visit their website at www.spiritrisingherbs.com for more information about how to schedule an appointment. Or call Michelle at 336-624-6727, 336-624-6727, or Andres at 336-508-1121, 336-508-1121. Get started on improving your health today.
It's no secret that teen girls and young women all across North America are struggling with diminished self-worth, depression, eating disorders, and self-harm. The good news? Tune in to The Mary Walden Show for a mental health boost. Raising and empowering young women, mind, body, and spirit. Join Mary and her guests, clinicians, artists, musicians, and researchers to get the knowledge and the know-how to build resilience in teen girls and young women today. The Mary Walden Show airs live Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Holistic Healing with Herbs and Chinese Medicine. To reach Michelle or Andres on today's show, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to spiritrisingherbs@gmail.com. Now, back to Holistic Healing with Herbs and Chinese Medicine.
Hi, welcome back to Holistic Healing with Herbs and Chinese Medicine. Andres, before the break, was talking about his interview with Isaias Ramon, who's a shaman from the Amazonian region of Colombia, and he was starting to share some of the practices and training, including the diet and practices that he had to follow to become a shaman.
Yeah, so he said this part of his training, he had to take eat particular plants designed to decrease anger and dissipate upset feelings, and other plants that were supposed to allow for easier assimilation of knowledge. In addition, he was required to be abstinent until he had completed his shamanistic studies and was required to keep to a rigid diet. And the shamanistic path he described was, in his words, the most rigid of his tribe in terms of rules and diet. He said the reason for its rigidity was to be able to properly use plants, prayers, and spells. When it would take too long to get a plant to a particular person, say in an emergency situation where someone was in a crisis, health crisis, then songs and prayers would have to do. And now that he works in Bogota, you know, which is not the Amazon, he doesn't have the pharmacy of nature everywhere he goes, he relies much more on songs and prayers than he used to. And he says that these sort of rigid rules are what allow these songs and prayers to have more power and to capture and utilize the essences of different plants without actually using the physical plant. So this kind of work is, in his words, he described it as working with the spirit or elemental essence of a particular plant or animal for healing purposes.
I really love that concept though. And, you know, in the Mayan system, that's something else is that, you know, before you use a plant, that praying to the plant, connecting to the spirit of the plant is something that is an automatic thing that you do because that can actually maximize not only the nutritious value of it, but the medicinal value of it.
Yeah.
A strong connection to nature and our role in the natural world.
Right. And, I've spoken with Chinese people who say that when you kind of smile to your, also our meditation teacher, when you smile to your food, you open up a certain deeper energy to it that you can then absorb more fully. And the people who are cooking the food, when you cook your food, you can add some energy to it. When you grow the food, et cetera. So there is an element of, there's a relational element in a lot of these traditional thinkings that's beyond, calories and, minerals and substances. So he claims that this teaching, again, allowed him to add the creative force of the cosmos into his medicine, into these prayers, which would make them more powerful than, say, if you or I or whoever and had no training spoke them. So I was, you know, interested in this combination of things, and so I asked him, when he sees diseases, how he treats them. You know, how does he treat particular diseases? And he said, you know, in the Amazon, the stuff he would see was very different than when he sees now in Bogota. But in the Amazon, he treated things like diarrhea, cough, dermatitis, ulcers, parasites, malaria, and fractures, broken bones, that type of thing. And so, you know, I asked him to go into the particulars. He said, for malaria, he uses techniques to reduce the fevers at an early stage in the fevers, and that's able to resolve it. He uses certain plants to hasten healing in the case of broken bones. For diarrhea, he uses a plant called Nicobe. If the diarrhea is light, if it's severe, he will use a separate combination of three Amazonian plants that is a cojollo of mecave mixed with coduro in preparation of crepto sickle cooked together and drank every half hour, and also uses avocado and ash, which you can put those other three plants plus that on the stomach as well as drinking the first three plants. So again, the problem here is that we don't know the Latin names, we don't know the English names. He says that these aren't registered plants, and therefore they really only exist in his language, many of them. But we can still get an idea of the system without knowing some of the specifics. So, and he said if he doesn't have the plants, then he'll use prayers. And some days those work faster than others. If it's from infection, it will take a day or so to heal. If it's from bad food, then it's very easy to heal. And, again, you know, unfortunately many of these plants are not registered and are not named except in the indigenous languages, but perhaps I'll change in the future.
Oh, and just also, too, just the vast resources of the Amazon in terms of, like, botanical diversity, which, you know, there may not even be any record of any documentation of those plants anywhere.
And when written. You think about it, China uses 80% of their plants medicinally, I think. I don't remember the exact number, but China is a much less diverse country in terms of their plants. Flora and fauna than Colombia. Colombia is the most biodiverse country in the world by square foot. And, you know, if we used or recognized the same percentage of plants that China uses medicinally from the Amazon, then that would be, you know, much, much larger amount of – that would be a much huger pharmacy to work with.
Well, I was going to say the statistic I've heard is like 1% of the plants that we have documented, like 1% of the plants on the planet that have potential medicinal value. And I mean, I think in the Amazon is such a potential storehouse of plant diversity.
Yeah, but in China, that percentage is much higher, and that's why. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for the treatment of cough, I was interested that he distinguished between plants that stop cough and those that resolve cough. And this, to me, was very similar to the Chinese ideas of treating the root and branch of a particular condition. So the root being the cause and the branch being the symptom itself. So he says that he doesn't stop the cough immediately, usually, because that's not going to resolve the underlying condition or the reason why the cough exists. So instead, he'll use things like Canna agria, which he says you want to use a fresh new plant, a sapling. And then the preparation of Marañón in order to get the phlegm expelled, to get rid of fevers, pneumonia, and other disorders. So again, he's using Amazonian plants to resolve the root of the condition, which I found very interesting. When I asked him about dermatitis, I was interested that he referred to what he calls an ecological calendar. In other words, he was saying that the treatments, ailments, weaknesses, strengths of a particular individual can be understood in the context of the month of that individual's birth. And the actions of nature during that month are going to determine what might, you know, how that person might be cured, what might be the tendencies toward of that person and weaknesses and stuff. So in addition, he was saying there are certain butterfly and plant parts that you can put on arms or legs of people with dermatological conditions, which are also very useful.
That's interesting, too, that they don't just use herbs, that they're using animal parts or insect parts, which is definitely a very important part of the Chinese system and the Materia Medica.
Right. Yeah, and for ulcers, he recommended people avoid anger, upset emotions, that they eat at regular hours, stay calm, avoid having sex with on a full stomach. And he was interested – I was very interested to hear how he talked about anger being a heating emotion, which, in Chinese medicine, there's a similarity that liver qi stagnation, which can result from anger, will then create heat. That stagnation causes heat in the body. So there's a similarity of metaphors, medical metaphors.
Yeah, it's interesting too. I mean, I think similar, and when you look at other systems like, you know, the Mayan system that looks at the causes of illness, and it's all imbalance. It's imbalances. So it's your diet, you know, eating too much food, not eating it at the right interval, or like eating at a regular interval, doing too much work, an imbalance of your emotions, having contaminated foods. I mean, being exposed to extreme weathers, like all of those things are seen as potential, as things that can cause health or illness.
Exactly. And so he went on to talk about things like pains and fevers and how these are also heating, which in Chinese medicine, there's a similarity. Pain can be from cold or from heat, but fevers are, of course, hot. And so this and then he spoke of ways to resolve this heat, this expression of internal heat herbally, which is similar to what Michelle and I do on a daily basis with different clients. So he talked about the need to remove what he called negative heat, which is heat from anger, and to balance out positive heat, which is part of the heat that maintains the world. Again, this bears resemblance to the concepts of yin and yang, which underscore every diagnostic decision and thought process in Chinese medicine.
Well, also too, that you can use, or that the causes of illness are not just physical, that there's an emotional. So we're like this, we're more complex than just our physical body. It's like mind, body, spirit. You know, Chinese medicine, you can use herbs to deal with emotional issues, like to help balance anger, to help regulate the moods. So, I mean, very interesting similarity that herbs can be used for that same benefit.
Yeah, and as I stated earlier, he also uses prayer and herbs to this end, to resolve those conditions. So he says, importantly too, that I found quite fascinating is when people are very angry, he doesn't want to extinguish the anger, get rid of the energy of the anger. Instead, he wants to transform that anger into wisdom in order not to lose that energy, which he compared to a candle. Instead, transform that energy into self-advancement. And this is particularly interesting because Michelle and I practice a type of meditation called emotional alchemy, which has a similar underpinning theory, which is that energy of emotions, that unconscious energy, is tremendously powerful and can be used for the health and wellness of each individual if regulated properly and if converted properly.
Well, and also too, I like, and you know, in the system that Andres and I practice that he was just referring to, it's this idea that we also have innate virtues of, you know, like unconditional love, kindness and compassion, courage and integrity, trust, an innate trust in the world. And that's one of the ways that you can transform negative emotions is by strengthening your innate. And when I say innate, I mean what's the word I'm looking for? Your innate virtues that are just that are innate to who you are.
It's like our original feeling.
Yeah.
You know, that there's the quality of love exists in us, whether or not, you know, whether we've never been loving in our lives, we still have that quality within ourselves and can express it. It's like the virtue of kindness. Even if you've never been kind, not one day in your life, you still have the possibility, the innate potential for that emotion.
Well, and actually on that note, it's time for another commercial break. So during the break, you can go visit our website at spiritrisingherbs.com. And we have different blog posts about some of the topics that we're talking about. You can also go to our Facebook page, Spirit Rising Herbs LLC, and like us on Facebook and also see more resources that we're referring to. And when we come back, we were going to go into more detail with Andres' interview with ICAS Ramon.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
in order to deliver the best Chinese medicine has to offer, Michelle and Andres are providing herbal consultations tailored to your unique health needs, starting at $50. Michelle and Andres will write a customized formula for you and provide food, diet, and other lifestyle suggestions using the time-tested wisdom of Chinese medicine. They offer phone or Skype sessions of either 30 minutes, an hour, or an hour and a half, depending on your needs. Visit their website at www.spiritrisingherbs.com for more information about how to schedule an appointment. Or call Michelle at 336-624-6727, 336-624-6727, or Andres at 336-508-1121, 336-508-1121. Get started on improving your health today.
If you're looking for answers and solutions, you don't have to look to expensive treatments, consultations, and methods. All you have to do is listen to your connections. Every week, the Dr. Melanie Show will teach you how to do just that. Dr. Melanie Barton will share her gifts and talents and teach you to do the same. And in doing so, find the solutions to the issues in your life that you truly need. You'll learn about holistic and practical health in six key areas. Discover the Dr. Melanie Show, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Holistic Healing with Herbs and Chinese Medicine. To reach Michelle or Andres on today's show, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to spiritrisingherbs@gmail.com. Now, back to Holistic Healing with Herbs and Chinese Medicine.
Hi, welcome back to Holistic Healing with Herbs and Chinese Medicine. We are talking about traditional or indigenous healing systems. And Andres had interviewed Isaias Ramon, who's a Colombian shaman herbalist from the Amazonian region. And we were talking actually right before the break about how he uses herbs and prayer to help people regulate their emotions. And we were discussing the similarity between that and some of the systems of that he and I practice in Qigong that we've learned through our practice of Chinese medicine. And I think, you know, what's really interesting as I've, you know, been listening to the interview and Andres talking is there's a real connection to, there's a real spiritual aspect of these traditional systems. And I think, you know, Chinese medicine is a little more sanitized now because after during, you know, the Maoist era in China, some of the spiritual elements of that system were stripped away, and they were eliminated in favor of a more systemized approach. So it's much more based on the physicality. I mean, even though, you know, emotional health is definitely, and those aspects are still included in the system, I think some of the spiritual aspects of Chinese medicine are, you have to kind of dig back for them. And I think one of the things that, you know, Andres and I are really lucky is practicing the system of Taoist Qigong that we do. It's the living and breathing element, which gives you a much deeper understanding of the medicinal system when you understand the spiritual practices.
Yeah, and this man is, of course, he described the way his days in his tribe as being pulled between two aspects. You know, the work day was spent maintaining the village, and the nights were spent studying. So from 6 p.m. to midnight, they would learn about the cosmology of their tribe, learn songs to connect with spirits and ancestors. You know, he spoke of tribal dances and meditative states where they would vibrate their hearts, as I mentioned earlier. And he, you know, and as I mentioned earlier, also different forms of silent meditation that they would use. So they were deeply immersed in a spiritual way of living and understanding their universe and their surroundings. And again, as I mentioned earlier, only 1,000 of this tribe, originally 40,000 tribe of Vetoto Indians, survived the massacres of the early 20th century. And that 1,000 only survived because they hid in the jungle, and all their village members were murdered, massacred. And since then, he's happy to report that the tribe has grown in numbers to 5,000. And so it's, in his mind, is now flourishing, still a very tiny number, you know, from a Western point of view, but at least the knowledge remains and is progressing. And the actual physical location of this tribe is in the Colombian state of the Amazonas, which is near the river Irigaparana, and in near Caqueta. So I just wanted to give you a physical sense of where this is in the Colombian Amazon area. So in addition, I asked him, what is he focusing on now? He's in Bogota. People don't have the same kind of illnesses as they do in the Amazon. And he said he works on things like fertility and heart conditions. These are things that he's discovered he's good at, And so he's helping people that have had multiple miscarriages or have serious cardiac problems. And he uses astral analogies, like the thought of applying more gravity, like that of the moon and the stars, to the uterus so it can hold a child and not abort. So he's using prayers and songs about the moon and the cosmos and the sun, how they don't fall from the sky. Those sort of analogies to keep the baby from falling out of the uterus. And so he refers to this as sort of magnet-like powers that will increase fertility. And he's had success with this. He reported he's had success with this in Bogota. And so that was very interesting. And he also gave an example of a woman who has been using, who had blockages in her arteries, great pains, all over her body, as well as a pacemaker. And he said he used water from certain rocks from the Amazon to strengthen her heart and used songs and prayers and was able to cure her from her heart problems and get her off her medication. So it's very interesting that these sort of ancient and shamanistic traditions that were developed in the Amazon jungle for a completely different set of illnesses could be effective for more urban type problems. And so I asked him, how is it that your prayers can have this much power? And he says, it's a matter of discipline, hard work, practicing continuous way and accumulating more potency, more physical and spiritual power so that one can affect more positive change as one ages. And so then I was interested too to know a bit more about this cosmological calendar that he introduced this concept to me earlier, and I wanted to understand more about it. So I asked him, can you go through the months with me? And he said, sure. And this is the calendar that he says there are two calendars. One is a July to July calendar, and one is a March to March calendar. And that between those two, there you get a complex understanding of each individual. So so he basically said that those born in March and April have a tendency to dermatitis. And he said this is a dermatitis associated with frogs, versus those born in August who are born in the month of the worm and are considered to also have a tendency to more severe form of dermatological conditions that's associated with cold. So because August is the month of the worm, he said that there are certain worms that can be used to heal this condition. And also papaya, cane, worm, or butterfly essences can all be used to heal these types of dermatitis. So using different essences is possible to heal.
So he uses the essences, not the actual, the actual insect?
Well, he'll take physical parts of them and then prepare them in a particular way and use them. And so first he determines which of these options is going to be the most effective, and then he applies it. And he considers that these healing tools have the capacity to regenerate the skin, and that's how the dermatological condition is healed, through regeneration of the skin. And he explained that those born in the month of August are related to Earth and therefore cannot stand much pressure underwater. So he said that, people, August-born people are going to have feel more pressure in their ears if they're underwater for a long period of time, or go to lower depths, and also tend to suffer more from anemia if they're not careful, as well as stomach problems and possible parasitical problems. And so that these people, people who are born in August should be careful and take iron or other supplements to avoid anemia. Those born in July, he said, have a tendency towards colder lower body temperatures and warmer upper body temperatures, therefore can have hypertension or may be highly susceptible to cold and could have ear and colon problems. He said that the July man does not save doesn't have a tendency to save money or other things as much as July women do. And that July women are very good at administrating their resources, and that they make very good mothers, and that they need to be carefully understood in pairing. So the reason for this, and every month has a metaphor that relates to what's happening in nature around his tribe at that particular time. So the reason for this is that when the river overflows in July, there's a certain type of palm tree that is a female tree that gets wet. So the river being higher is a spiritual metaphor for women getting soaked, and therefore means those born in this month are metaphorically inclined to certain problems.
What really strikes me about that is that to understand his system, you would have to understand the geography of where he lives, because it's so influenced by the local geography and how that's encoded into their – it's encoded into the very medical – it's in the very healing system.
Yeah, that's right. The environment so deeply influences them that they're completely dependent and have come to understand themselves. And it's a way of being in harmony with nature.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, and that you, every time we lose a language or we lose a tribe like that, we lose this really vital understanding of the geography, the plant life, and what you need, what you can do to be healthy living in harmony in that specific environment.
Right. So in September, he said, is the golden sun month of the pineapple, and can also tend to skin disorders. It's the month of the caimo, which is an Amazonian fruit. And these are people that tend to have a lot of energy, and they like women who have great energy. And that he made clear that was also sexual energy, both physical energy and sexual energy. And that these women tend to have both men and women born in September tend to have strong bones. So in October, he said that winter is ending in the Amazon, so you can see the stars. And that it's important for those who are born in October to avoid excessive whining. Because if one avoids whining, then opportunities present themselves. But if one is whining, then the opportunities won't present themselves. And he said that those born in the month of October have a weak place in the back near the waist. And he referred to this as the canasta de poder, which means canasta de poder, which means basket of power, which in itself is very similar to the Chinese name for this point, which is Ming Men, or the gate of destiny. And which is also considered to be a portal to prenatal or different energies, spiritual energy. So I was very interested by that similarity. And he said that this is a very fertile month, so that those born in the month of October can reproduce very easily, whether it be male or female. And this is because large fish make lots of eggs in this month in the Amazon.
Right. Oh, I love the similarities with nature.
Yeah, everything is dependent on what's happening in nature. And so, and he stressed that this is a very perfunctory presentation of the ecological calendar, that it's actually much more detailed and in-depth than this. But he gave me an outline in the time we had to understand it in a kind of perfunctory way.
Well, it's interesting too, in the Mayan system, there's also a system of the months and how each month affects the body, and without going into very much explanation, you know, that's very, very much more appropriate to the climate there.
Exactly. Very interesting. Yeah. All right. So then in November, there's a certain palm tree that flowers in this month, which means that women will have very easy childbirth. They do not suffer from anemia, and this month corresponds with the turtle. So it's important for those of this month to avoid procrastination, to be constant and not fast. If they do this, then they will succeed. So these people tend to be very cautious of going to business ventures to avoid loss. And in this month, the river decreases. So some turtles will lay eggs on the river, but then the river will rise again, and they will lose their eggs. And that's why it's important for those that are born in this month to be cautious in business, because they could go in and lose everything. So he said also that those in this month tend to be strong and not have many problems with toxins. Okay, so it's time for us to take a break. Please visit www.spiritrisingherbs.com and like us on Facebook, Spirit Rising Herbs LLC. And we'll be back and talk a little bit more about the ecological calendar and the shaman's way of thinking and the Amazon. Thank you.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
In order to deliver the best Chinese medicine has to offer, Michelle and Andres are providing herbal consultations tailored to your unique health needs, starting at $50. Michelle and Andres will write a customized formula for you and provide food, diet, and other lifestyle suggestions using the time-tested wisdom of Chinese medicine. They offer phone or Skype sessions of either 30 minutes, an hour, or an hour and a half, depending on your needs. Visit their website at www.spiritrisingherbs.com for more information about how to schedule an appointment, or call Michelle at 336-624-6727, 336-624-6727, or Andres at 336-508-1121, 336-508-1121. Get started on improving your health today.
Have you figured out what's not working in your sex life? Could you use a little help? Join your host, Tamaran, for Let's Figure It Out Intimately. Tamaran has had both highs and lows in her sex life. She uses her experiences to teach you some basic techniques on how to create more fun, intimacy, and pleasure. Her guests also come from the sexual health and wellness industry. And together, Tamaran and her guests will help you get the sex life you've always longed for. Let's Figure It Out Intimately airs live every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
The latest business information is made simple with the Voice America Business Network. The professionals in the business world bring you live talk radio shows featuring an array of business topics, strategies for building wealth, sales and marketing, stock trading, investing, and business technology. Voice America Business hosts are professionals in their fields and bring to the airwaves weekly business discussions that offer up-to-date information, advice, and education. The Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business talk.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Holistic Healing with Herbs and Chinese Medicine. To reach Michelle or Andres on today's show, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to spiritrisingherbs@gmail.com. Now, back to Holistic Healing with Herbs and Chinese Medicine.
All right, welcome back. I was talking about the ecological calendar that Isaias Ramon was sharing with us, and we're on the month of December. So in the month of December is a month of energy, he explained, and that it's important for those born in December and January to allow themselves to be guided and not to have too much pride, because he said those born in December, January, and February are born at a time of harvest, and because everything is being gathered, turtles, fish, birds, there's abundance everywhere, it makes them seem very powerful, and that makes them believe that they know everything, those born in these months, which is not true, and that it's important for them to be organized, less vain, less prideful. And they need to be forever correcting their lives to stay sane. They need to be careful about that. And then for the month of January, he said that's the month of birds, and that because they're birds, they don't tend to drink a lot of breast milk, so that the babies won't drink so much breast milk as other as those born in other months, and that they can have weaknesses in their ankles because when birds are walking on sand, they're walking on unsteady surfaces, and that can lead to weak ankles. And those born in January through March can easily correct their lives. They can correct their mistakes very easily. And he gave the phrase that he repeated a couple times, the tree that is born twisted can straighten itself, is the mantra of this month. And so he was referring to a particular type of tree that straightens itself very easily. So he also said that in this month you can be guided by stars, because it's a month where there are very few clouds, and so stars serve as guiding forces for those born in this month. In February, there's a certain palm tree called Charto Duro, which is high in iron. And there are birds that dance in this month, seagull-type birds. They have no fear of heights because they're migratory birds. And so those born in this month have no fear of heights, and they can sometimes have nightmares because negative spirits, as he said, can be jealous of the light of those born in this month. And because those born in this month can have greater facility in becoming clairvoyant. said also they're often very humble, have few friends, and they're reserved people. So the month of March is tends to be overprotective. There's a need to control, have good hands for planting. So they do very well when they plant things. Things grow. There's a tendency towards certain types of dermatitis. It's the end of the summer in the Amazon, and so there tends to be heat inside, and they don't sweat very much. So they keep the heat inside, but they can't quite get it out very easily. They like to travel, and when they travel with a lot of suitcases, and they try to bring everything along with them. And they say, and this is another month, which is the month of this tree that I was mentioning before, the Umaris Verde, which he says is the tree that is born twisted but gets straightened very easily. And he also said March and April are months to travel as well. And April is a month of good people, a month of honey and sweetness. The tree Okurai, which gives the Okujo fruit, which tastes like honey. So they need to avoid sweets because they already have a very sweet nature. If they eat sweets, they will get headaches. And they often are allergic to wasps and bees because of their affinity to honey. And they need to talk very clearly because sometimes they'll talk too fast. Then in the month of May, you need to reduce perfumes because they're already very sweet-smelling. They're very curious. They have lots of abilities. And the month, they're the month of a certain type of monkey and a parrot. So they're very curious people. Some people have no patience for them because they're always kind of on edge trying to learn new things, sort of like the monkey. And they have some cold in the feet because the certain river is starting to overflow, but it can be controlled fairly easily. And then if you're born in June, then this river overflows even higher, and there's a tendency for cold feet up to the knees because the river touches a certain type of root, Palma de Moriche, which is very important to the tribe. And parents often need to keep careful care of the kids, make sure they get dressed and look good until they're of age 10, and then they start to develop vanity. Because this is the month of the monkey Choruco, which goes to the river and sees this image and tends to itself, kind of falls in love with itself.
A narcissus.
Yeah, narcissism, right. And so it also has very fine skin, which doesn't get wet. And so those born in June tend to like nice and fine things. They're also very loving people. Good lovers was the analogy he was making. And they tend to have lots of doubts. And they like bitter and sweet tastes. So he recommends people born in the month of June try to erase their doubts or, you know, reduce their doubts.
Well, and also that idea that different flavors like sweet, sour, bitter can reduce certain energies in the body, which is such a such a fundamental idea in Chinese medicine, really Ayurvedic medicine, anything that uses classifies food and herbs, they're always classified by flavor. And those flavors are used to reduce or increase effects in the body and used to heal in different ways.
Right, exactly. And so I also asked him about more medical metaphors because I was very interested in the poetry of his tribe and the way they use it and to understand their surroundings. And he said basically there are no bad things. Everything is good. You know, thoughts are neither good nor bad. And he gave this analogy of a certain type of yucca that is poisonous, but that if you prepare it properly, it becomes good and nutritious food. So he said diseases are simply things that are waiting to be transformed into good things, which I thought was a very, very wise metaphor that basically, you know, if you translate this into Chinese medicine, diseases don't happen for no reason. You know, it's like we create them often, you know, maybe push too hard or don't eat the right foods, but there's always a way to transform them. There's always a way to turn them into energy, usable energy, and to get back on the path to wellness.
Well, and also too, just, I mean, I'm just so struck by learning about his system is just what we lose when those systems disappear. I mean, what we lose when the habitat's not preserved and when the systems aren't preserved, and what just geographical knowledge you have about the plants and how to best use them.
Exactly. And, you know, you think all over the world, there's been a consistent loss of this type of knowledge. And how to use the even identify, and you know, like you were saying, some of these plants aren't even identified that he uses medicinally, and who knows what kind of cures we have there. Now the Chinese system is unique because there's a massive farming system and a massive infrastructure for healing herbs, and in China, which doesn't exist in most countries, But, you know, these Amazonian countries would be one place to definitely look and try to establish something like that.
Well, you know, one country where it does exist, which I think is really hopeful and amazing, is in Belize. Actually had the, was able to take some classes with this woman, Rosita Orvigo, who is she's a naturopathic doctor, and she studied with a Mayan shaman, Don Eligio Panti, in Belize. And she documented her experience in this book called Sastoon, which just documents her entire apprenticeship with him. And she really, her goal was to really preserve his knowledge of the plants, because he also had access to a jungle there as well, and was using the herbs. It's very similar to the system Isaias practices, Mayan system, where he was using prayer as well as herbs and even needling points with people, like we were talking about earlier. And she, you know, one of the things that she did was she set up the Terra Nova Medicinal Plant Reserve, which is 6,000 acres in Belize, to preserve the plants in that jungle area, as well as the Ixchil Tropical Research Foundation that's supporting Belize's traditional healers to be able to preserve their knowledge, as well as they're doing plant rescues. And for those of you that were listening to our show on preserving medicinal plants, they actually go in and rescue plants from areas of the jungle that are about to be destroyed to preserve them. So that really gives me a lot of hope to see actions like that are happening. And, you know, she's working in partnership with folks in Belize to make that happen, so that we don't lose some of this really important knowledge. And just how similar, I think the other thing is how similar a lot of these traditional healing systems are. They're using very similar concepts in terms of how they classify herbs, how they understand illness, and how we relate to the natural world around us, which is a very different concept than we have in the West, and is something we can learn from tremendously.
Yes. So we hope you learned a little bit about other traditions in addition to the Chinese, and some of the similarities between plant healing and other diagnostic systems. We very much enjoyed producing this segment of information for you.
Yeah, it was very, the research aspect was very fun. So please go to our website at spiritrisingherbs.com and our Facebook page at Spirit Rising Herbs LLC, and we will have more information that you can hear about what we talked about tonight. So thanks very much, and good night.
Good night.
Thank you again for joining us for Holistic Healing with Herbs and Chinese Medicine. Your hosts, Michelle Collins and Andres Vergara, will be back next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Here's to better health for you.